We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
And these people that you're seeing here on this chart, they are pushing this in your community. These are the ones that will allow fentanyl-laced product to go out in your community. There is not one person here that is not affected by fentanyl. I don't care who you are. You have family. You have loved ones. Fentanyl is atrocious. It has no care who it kills, nor do these folks. They don't care. Understand that. They do not care who they kill in your community. This state has been attacked by fentanyl drug dealers, but there is hope.
That's Mark Glass. He is the commissioner for FDLE, Florida Division of Law Enforcement. And he was here in town yesterday doing a press conference with our sheriff, Chip Simmons, who's here in studio with me. And they also had Chris Williams, who was the special agent in charge of this operation, what they're calling Operation Nottingham. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. So 14 pounds of fentanyl, is that right? Or fentanyl, everybody seems to get upset when I say fentanyl, so fair enough.
I call it fentanyl.
Yeah, there you go.
Fentanyl.
And this is, for people who do not know, because we kind of presume that people do know, this is just the super drug. This is the teeny tiny amounts give you a ridiculously potent experience that is also killing people, that people get addicted to, that apparently they're seeking out. But you tell me, what's the truth about this drug that you called the most dangerous drug you've ever seen in your, 40 years of law enforcement or so?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of leaning into my 41 years of experience now.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Yeah.
No, you mentioned that fentanyl is the most dangerous. It's the super drug. You know what? It's the super drug today. I read things all the time about the next round, this horse tranquilizer, xylazine or whatever.
Oh, is that what that one is? Okay, that came up yesterday. I didn't know what that is. Okay.
Yeah, it's this super, it's horse tranquilizer. So today's super drug is fentanyl, and fentanyl is just everywhere, right? But I just want to make sure that people understand that it's fentanyl until it's something else. Mm-hmm. And it was heroin, and then it was cocaine, it was crack cocaine. Then it was methamphetamine, then it's fentanyl, and now who knows where we're going to go. But fentanyl right now is the target. Fentanyl is the highest priority for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and obviously it's a high priority for the governor, and he has pushed the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to get into more fentanyl investigations as well, to include what they call a SAFE grant or it's a grant that provides funding for local agencies to help work on fentanyl investigations. Typically, we work together, but sometimes they are individual investigations that the agency would work. So we're taking advantage of that. If you're going to give us money to pay overtime for deputies to work more fentanyl cases, then we're certainly going to do that.
To spend time to build up through the structure of the distribution network, so you can actually get the people in charge instead of just the dealers, right? I mean, that's part of this too.
Well, I mean, I talk a lot about a multi-pronged approach, and this is kind of symbolic of that. We have our uniformed deputies going in and make traffic stops and they make many good arrests. You've seen us over the last couple of weeks really and making tremendous strides with regards to fentanyl investigations. But some of those investigations take a long time. This started in April. And we had been working on it with FDLE and with our other partners here for 6 or so months now. In the meantime, I've been talking about other cases, other investigations, and this one obviously came to fruition where they arrest 15 people. And
there's seven more pending or whatever, and drugs and guns and money and cars and all the things, right?
All the things, yeah. You mentioned 14 pounds of fentanyl. Typically, we talk about kilos with regards to cocaine, mm-hmm. with regards to drugs. Which is kind of weird to me.
Measuring one way.
As a narcotics investigator, was always, you got a kilo, you got a half kilo, a quarter kilo. But on marijuana, we did it in pounds. It was always a quarter pound or a pound of marijuana. It's just, or an ounce. It's just a weird. Why the systems, but typically in fentanyl. In fact, if you recall, last week we seized almost 5,000 grams of fentanyl, the fentanyl mixture. Mm-hmm. and we refer to it as the kilos instead of the pounds. We could have said, what, 10 pounds or so.
Are people, again, I know so little, only from talking to you guys, basically. Do people go buy fentanyl? Are they asking their drug dealer to give them fentanyl? Or are they asking for cocaine laced with it? Or, I mean, I know sometimes it's put in there and they don't know about it. But
right.
are users, the ordinary person who's trying to get that next whatever high, are they deliberately purchasing things that have fentanyl in them?
Many of them are, yes.
Okay. So they know this. They know the danger, and they don't care.
That's correct.
Okay.
But a lot of them are looking for that high. They're looking for that, what they call the ultimate high. And,
okay.
And unfortunately, what that ultimate high is, sometimes it means that they need to be revived.
Get Narcan or whatever, yeah.
So they'll survive the ordeal.
Are you? This may seem like a weird question, but it occurs to me. You did undercover work. You worked narcotics for years. Part of that at the lowest level is making buys. But we know fentanyl's, I mean, deadly dangerous, so much so that you guys wear gloves and, you know, people have had adverse reactions. Can you even do something like a buy for fentanyl as a, you know, is that even something you're able to do safely?
You can. Typically, when they're selling it, they're also careful because they understand that. I mean, they can't sell stuff if they're always laid out in the ground.
Yeah.
So what they do when they sell typically is they'll be a little cautious where they'll put in a pill and the pills will be in we seized a couple of presses. And in fact, in this investigation, I think they may have had some presses.
Pill presses to make
some
the
pill
pills.
Presses or bar presses so that they can, and they'll break them up. But they'll do so with, you noticed on one of my little videos we did, I had gloves on, but they had masks and they had, gloves and they had different things to protect them from that as well. But it is different. And it's something that we have, even if we don't buy, if we have an informant buy, it is something that we give them specific instructions about. And then when we process evidence, we talk a lot about how much fentanyl we've seized over the last 6 months or so. And again, what you're not seeing is how careful we are with regards to the fentanyl. And we have Narcan as well, just in case something terrible happens to one of our deputies.
We know a lot of people die from fentanyl use. I mean, the numbers are like 100,000, 80,000 a year. It's ridiculous, the opioid deaths in this country. Although they have come down a little bit the last couple of years, but they were peaking at like 100,000 a year. Twice as many people as died in the entire Vietnam War per year. You know, twice the population of Pensacola. Like, it's an insane thing to consider. They're killing people, but as a business, that's not usually good business, right? You kill off your users, that ends your, right? So do they just take that as a cost of doing business? Are they trying to kill people? Like, from the mindset of the drug dealer, you've got a product that is killing your client base. What is their strategy here?
Well, I think it's all over the map. I think that there have been people, I've heard, there are people that quite frankly don't care if people overdose. They don't care if an individual dies, because that spreads the word. That must be good stuff.
It must be potent.
That's strong stuff. That's okay. Stuff that we need. And you do have people, unfortunately, some of these people are looking for, again, we talked about that ultimate high. And I think that too often can result in that ultimate low, which is death.
Yeah.
I think that those are, again, this is all over the map. This is not, as I understand it, something that, like in the 70s and 80s, they would get you hooked and then you keep coming back.
Come back for more progressively, right.
But now, again, the mindset is you can paint this. It's a marketing deal. You can paint it any way you want to. And like I mentioned before, they just don't care.
Wow.
That's why we really started to address these cases about if someone dies based on something you sold them, then we're looking at you for the homicide. Again, that's long and it's difficult. Sometimes you get toxicology reports. You have to, isolate where they got it from. And is that the only place they got it from? Did they mix it with something else? A lot of times an individual toxicology report comes back with a multitude of drugs in their system. But it is something that we look at. It's something that we certainly will investigate.
If somebody is, we sometimes talk about identifying friends and family members who might be using drugs or might be problems. We typically think about this a lot for parents with their kids, right? Signs and markers that they might be, getting high or getting drunk or using other kinds of drugs. Is there anything specifically that people should look for to have an indication that it is, something related to fentanyl that their kids might be using or that their friends or relatives might be using?
Well, I think the first thing you look for, and this has been the consistent for decades now, is a shift in their behavior. Are they not happy as they used to be? Or they carry a lot of money but they don't have a job? Are they hanging out with a group of friends that you're not accustomed to? Are they leaving for hours at a time and not coming back overnight? It's just is something that's different with regards to methamphetamines. Is there health deteriorating? Something fierce. I think that these are some of the things, the warning signs, and didn't have that conversation with your children. I think that depends on how well they are, obviously, but just watch their behavior and make sure that they understand how dangerous these things can be.
On another subject, you managed to pull a white Honda Civic out of the water over by Bluff Springs Road near the Escambia River.
We certainly assisted in pulling it out. Yeah, a person. Gets out of his car, puts it in neutral instead of park, and the car drifts. I can only imagine I wasn't there.
Yeah.
No video, but you can see it drift down into water, and then it's ultimately in the
river. Okay. Or the water.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was underwater, completely underwater. So we have to get this car out, right? And so fire and rescue gets there. We work with them all the time, especially in the north end. And then we had to get a dive team out there. Our dive team goes out there and hooks up it works with a wrecker, hooks up the chain to the car and pulls it out safely. Fortunately, no one got hurt. You know, our dive team, just briefly, they do a lot of this kind of stuff. They're always diving in, I say always, they're probably 15 times a year or so. And every time we say, oh, someone may have thrown a weapon into this pond or this retention pond, some of these places aren't. You know, this sounds like a great place to go swimming in, but some of these places are not. Some of these filthy, dirty swamps, and, you know, sometimes the water's murky.
Right.
Bays or rivers. It's
more so as soon as they get in to try to look for stuff because the fins are going to kick up the muck, right?
You know? And it's not always warm.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not always good, you know, fancy stuff. It's not always the glamorous stuff. If you recall a couple years ago, unfortunately, we had to retrieve a young boy who drowned in a pond up in the north end. So it you know, that goes off to them. They do a great job, and you can't just do it when you get called out. You have to train.
Yeah,
heavily, right?
There was a training last week, right, around the Pensacola Ferry.
Yeah, they don't always tell me where they train. They just do their thing, right? Yeah, and they do it in a professional manner. Now I will tell you a brief little. When I was a police chief, we had a dive team as well. We didn't have as many call-outs because the geographic area in the city of Pensacola is a lot smaller than it is in Escambia County. And I was proud of myself at the time. I contacted the sheriff's office and said, hey, you guys do a lot more. Let me give you all of our tanks and masks and such. And then if we need to, we'll call y'all. And they went for it. And we were able to do that. So now we have.
So you did one of these one time?
Yeah, we had a dive team at one point.
Chip Simmons did a dive.
Oh no.
Okay.
No, let's not get carried away. I've been on a boat several times. I'll stay.
Slept at Holiday Inn Express, but you don't do legal advice.
That water's
right?
Cold. You're doing all that. There's sharks down there.
We had Manna did the Fill the Mayflower on Friday. You came, you gave, right? Always a part of this. Big deal. Your deputies, this is the part of the job that people don't talk about very much, but you know, you guys see hungry kids, you guys see fighting parents, you guys see neglected kids, you see all of this stuff, right? You see families that are homeless. You see it all. Your deputies see it all.
It is a unique perspective that of a law enforcement officer. You see things that it may not be criminal. You. It's hard to lose that from your mind when you wonder, you know, are those children hungry? Are they being cared for? They may not be abused, physically abused, but you wonder, how are they going to go to school? How are they going to learn? How are they going to concentrate on this and that if they may be hungry? So it is that unique perspective. And now we have a relationship with our school resource officers. And if we know of students that may be hungry, then Manna has a conduit to where we can get food to those children or to those families.
Yeah.
And so that's we do a lot of great things, quite honestly, in law enforcement. And is there a greater thing than feeding a hungry child that you're aware of? I think these are very good things. And you know, reach out in a salute to Manna for what they do. I was on the board for a couple of years and was able to sit in on some of their interviews with people, with families. They don't just give food. They work with you on nutrition. They work with you on ways to get out of this.
That's what Dee Dee would always say. It's always nutritional food. They're always. It's not just about putting stuff in the belly, right?
They say thank you. Thank you so much for this, but we sure could use this peanut butter, whatever food is going to be. Yeah. And they can always use money. So, last Friday, we were able to get out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Weather was great, actually. At 6 o'clock in the morning in a late November. It could certainly be cold.
Right.
And it has been.
It many times. Still, the Mayflower is a cold event. Right, yeah.
I went to see people drive up and with a big smile on their face and knowing that they're doing something, you know, they're and the food is staying in our region and in our area. You know, we're not shipping out down to Tallahassee or something. The food that we gave, the food that was in the bags that I brought, is going to end up on a table somewhere here in Escambia County, and that makes you feel a little bit better.
You know, that's actually it's a savvy way to think about it, and even I, as many years as we've been doing this, I never thought about it quite that way. That, you know, this can is going to wind up in somebody's hands on their kitchen countertop, and they're going to be turning that into a meal. Not obviously. You don't maybe think all the way through to that end result that, you know, you bring in this rice or you bring in this peanut butter, and, you know, that's a kid on the other end of that 3 weeks from now or a month from now that's actually going to be eating that. And it's,
well,
you know,
we talk a lot about the butterfly effect where you do this little piece here, and ultimately, where is this going to end up? It's going to end up on someone's table as part of a casserole or whatever. Yep. And that full belly could help that kid, test scores a little better, SAT scores,
right.
SAT scores. And maybe they can get to a college. You know, just the little things that
maybe they sit better through class and don't get a disciplinary because they were
maybe
fed.
It's a job interview,
right.
that they don't miss now because of all that. So, and they become a doctor. You know, all this the chaos theory,
right,
the butterfly
right.
effect. I think those are things that, as you mentioned, we don't always think about. But if we put it in the
those
lowest
terms,
levels,
yeah.
Maybe it is. Let's just do enough good so that ultimately something really big can come of it.
Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for what you do for the community. Thanks for spending some time with us every week. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
You bet. Y'all take care.